Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning on this very wet, this very windy day. Gusts are possible to 60 miles per hour. There's a high wind warning for the leeward side, West Maui, Lanai, Koho'olawe, an advisory for all other islands. And as I said, the winds are easterly and gusts are possible to 60, depending on where you are, like Down Valley. Easterly is basically 20 to 40 miles per hour. Tonight, they're going to shift to be northeasterlies and it's going to get nice and chilly. Annika Sorenstam, Gary Player, honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom later this month at the White House. And Ron Cyrak's been invited to be there. We'll be talking with Ron about his trip to the White House with Annika and Gary Player and about the LPGA getting back to its schedule finally later this month. Ron will be on the show next Saturday. This Saturday, my guests are Glenn Marumoto, the only man to run a marathon and play 18 holes in all 50 states. And we've got Jim Nugent, founder of Global Golf Post. We're going to talk about the API and a whole bunch of other things going on in golf, of course, including Tiger Woods not playing in the Players' Championship. And we've got Travis Jerger, director of golf at Turtle Bay Golf Resort. They've got a brand new putting course for you. And Roger Cleveland, golf club designer at Callaway Golf. He's going to kick off the show. By the way, this weekend, you can win a $50 gift certificate on the show in the next 90 minutes at Bayview Golf Club. Just dial in to win, and they are having on their upper deck covered driving range on Sunday, March 15th at 1 o'clock at the Bayview Golf Course, a 20-minute demo, because now they have Top Tracer, and they're going to show you exactly how you can use all the features, including playing virtual golf, both as teams or just in individual. You can play a course that you choose. It's awesome. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water or worse, sewer pipes break or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors. Increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Roger Cleveland, Callaway Golf Chief Club Designer, founder of Cleveland Golf and Cleveland Classic. He later sold that company to Rossignol, and that went its way. Roger Cleveland is Callaway Golf Chief Club Designer, and we know his wedges. Welcome into the clubhouse, Roger.
Nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. I was just looking at, you know, Maverick Sub-Zero Max and driver, Maverick Sub-Zero Max and the woods and the hybrids, the Epic Flash, the Callaway Maverick Max Pro irons, the Apex Pro 19. I mean, it goes on. Super, I love the Super Game Improvement irons. A Big Bertha version. You know, I think about Callaway bringing out the Big Bertha in the 90s, and at this point, we've got club heads just about the same size for everybody. But in the wedges, it's the Jaws MD5. And there's quite a story behind your designing the MD5, the Jaws MD5. Is that the Mac Daddy?
Well, that's the name that Phil Mickelson called his first groove that we, when he joined us. He wanted the most aggressive groove known to man, and so he put it in there. It has to be legal, though. And this is before the rule change, and so he hit this first shot, and it rips back. It's about a 40-yard shot, and it rips back about 30 feet, and he looks down at the club, and there's, like, white golf ball coming up the face where these grooves just grabbed it. And he says, "That's my Mac Daddy, you know, wedge." And we've never heard of that term before. This is years ago, and we just loved it, and we started calling, as a nickname, the wedges, and so it got adapted, and so now everything is Mac Daddy, and that's a Phil. A Philism.
That's a Philism. When you know, designing clubs, I need to step back a little bit and go back to the Maverick. And I was fascinated by the artificial intelligence because I was reading an article. You know, the human makes the design, the computer analyzes, right? Provides feedback. But there was questions about whether now at some point the computer can not only do all that, but then give you guys ideas that we don't even think of.
That's correct. You got to teach the computer. You know, Chip Brewer, we have the biggest and the biggest spend of any golf company in R&D, and we have some really smart people. But you just don't buy a computer or a supercomputer like we talked Chip Brewer, our president, into, which is not a light investment. It's a very, very sizable investment. And our guys said, listen, we can get this. But once you get this you know, machine, you got to teach it. It doesn't just, you know, give me a high-speed driver face. You know, you got to teach it all these things and parameters, and we have the guys that do that, and we're constantly getting feedback and constantly updating it, and it's cranking all the time, and we're using it not only for the driver, but fairways and hybrids and irons and golf ball. It's very, very interesting, the application to golf ball, and you'll be seeing some of that coming this year. And we haven't used it yet in wedges. We don't need fast wedges, but we do need wedges that spin, and that's where the jaws, our R&D team, you know, we put micro positives between each groove. Instead of going down for face roughness, we actually machine down and leave four edges between each groove. And then we have a groove that even has a tighter edge radius than ever before that is conforming. It comes right up to the edge of the USG and R&A specifications. And it gives you spin. And we use it in the higher lofts, not the lower lofts, but the higher lofts where you need it. And the pros and everybody, the amateurs, they love it. And gives you more control and spin. And it stops where you want it to be.
Stops on a dime.
Well, it's pretty fast, but it doesn't. It's interesting. It doesn't. The old grooves, when they were really aggressive, they used to tear up the golf ball. This doesn't tear up the golf ball, and it's almost, mitigated all the loss of spin with the groove rule. I mean, it's very close.
It's really something that, in the case of the driver, the Maverick, I thought it was very cool that they discovered that they could reduce the size of the head. I didn't have to be so big because, let's see now, I'm going to try to get this right. If the face of the driver minimized the variation of ball speed, no matter where contact was made, with that kind of face performance, the head could be then smaller and the aerodynamics of a bigger head would be taken out of it because a big head is not good for aerodynamics or something.
That's right. The bigger face, I mean, the face is like a wall. So the smaller wall that you have, trying to go through the air, you're going to pick up some speed and less resistance. That means that we can actually grow the size of the head and make it a little bit shallower, which increases the resistance to twist or the moment of inertia. So we have a lot of benefits there, but the trailing edge, it has to be a certain way so it doesn't create drag. We did some studies with Boeing we don't have any lift with this, but we do have drag. But anyway, and those are the two components, lift and drag. But anyway, we have guys. I just go there and have fun with wedges these days. I used to be involved with all that but a little bit less so. They're put me to work in the wedge category, which I've had like 40 years of experience now and learned from not only, you know, what I did in my past life at Cleveland, but you still continue to go out to on the tour and learn it all the time. We have five different geometries of sole for your highest lofts, which depending upon your technique is just ideal. So we have a lot of options for you at Callaway.
Yeah, you do, and it shows. Now, what I've got to ask you about, let's go back to the Mac Daddy. Okay.
Yeah.
The PM grind with Phil Mickelson. When you made I thought it was fat. Tell us about making that first prototype back in 2014 for the PGA Championship.
Oh, well, all of a sudden, we you know, Phil comes in and we do this wedge, and he has a specific sole he wants, so we give him exactly what he wants. And about a year and a half later, all of a sudden, we have a survey out on the PGA Tour. It's called the Darrow Survey, which shows what the players play. And all of a sudden, a ping shows up in the lob wedge in Phil's bag. And I said, you know, if I want to continue to work at Callaway, I better do something about that. So I called Phil, and he says, well, I get into rough, and I like more. I was afraid I would go under the ball with a traditional size wedge, so I need more real estate. And I said, I got it. So we took two wedges with the sole that he really liked, and we cut them in half. We welded one on top of the other. I took a Sharpie out. I drew what I wanted to grind. So I ground down the head shape. That added weight. I had to take weight out. And I took it to, this is just a total prototype. We actually didn't even put score lines on the top. You couldn't even see the weld that this Perry Wall did such a beautiful job in welding, but I took a Sharpie and indicated where the grooves would be, okay, and took it out there just to show him. This is Monday at Valhalla of the PGA, and he absolutely loved it and started hitting shots, stopped the entire putting green at a major event because they wanted to watch this guy hit shots, because he's absolutely amazing. He's has the most amazing short game because he's practiced a lot. He's missed a lot of greens, evidently, but no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but he's so aggressive. He is so aggressive. But he has, his technique is so good. We left. All the manufacturers leave Wednesday, and I thought, well, great. This is a great start, and we're going to go back and keep designing. Mm-hmm. Well, he used that. He actually used that product. It didn't have grooves at the top. And he almost won. He and Ricky Fowler came right down to the last hole. If you remember, it was going into darkness. Roy McIlroy eked out a par on the last hole and beat him by one. But it was really exciting for us. And Chip Brewer, he came back, and Chip, our great CEO, by the way, said, listen, we got to commercialize this. This is fun. So we did. In that process, Phil said, listen, I open it up. I want to have grooves. I want to have edges all the way out to the toe. So we did that, and that's where all this came. And we're getting copied now, and we haven't got any royalty payments on that yet. But I guess that's flattery when you get copied. But that's how this wedge came about. And it is such a technical wedge. And it's not the prettiest wedge when you put it down, but boy, it is really functional.
Well, you know,
but we have those components in the jaws as well. So it's but the PM's still around. We have not discontinued that, and we will never discontinue that.
So tell us about the jaws. What's
is really special. It's a beautiful shape, and it exudes a lot of confidence when you set it down, and based upon whatever your highest loft is, whether it's 58 or 60 or even 56, we have the sole geometry, the sole options for you. You should 300 yards anymore, but amateurs are strong enough and ladies are strong enough to be lessons. It's a different technique in the short game than your big swing. A lot of people miniaturize their big swing for their short game. It's a different type of stroke, okay? And if you take some lessons, you can get really good, enjoy your game. Fastest way to lower your handicap and increase your enjoyment is through the short game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
You have to have technique and good wedges. So,
yeah, there's jaws. There's nothing more satisfying than being off the green and then using a club and watch it just go up and boom, and there it's on the green. It's like, wow, I did it.
Yeah, get it over the bunker. I've never gotten it over a bunker. You know, I mean, it doesn't take force. Okay, you have to. And it's actually less force is better. You just have to have technique, and we have some really forgiving souls, and that's what you need when you get around the green.
Yeah, and it's finesse it. I love that word.
Yes,
you just have to finesse it. you started golf when you were 12.
Something like that, yeah. Some friends of mine were going out. I played all sports, you know, as a kid, and rode my bike to, you know, everywhere. But a couple of my buddies kept going out, and I said, I want to get together with you. And I said, well, we're playing golf. I said, well, one day I said I want to go with you, so I did. And I really had fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. So I got a starter set, which is a 3-5-7-9, and a putter and a driver and three wood. It was a McGregor, Jimmy DeMeritt set. And in a year and a half, I broke 80, and so I was on my way. I loved it.
That's amazing. In a year and a half, you could have been really good if you'd stuck with it, you know, Mr. Cleveland.
Well, I was pretty good as a junior, and then I progressively got worse. But I was able to get a scholarship, and golf has been terrific.
When did you decide that, you know, creating golf clubs was your life?
Well, as a youth, I missed a lot of greens, and so I messed around with different grinds on the sole to see if I could do. I still have that first wedge that I did. And it's pretty good, actually. And it actually has four. You can't believe this, but it was an old Spalding top flight, and they make beautiful irons. And it has four holes where I had to drill weight out because it was heavy, and I had four holes in it, if you can imagine that. And so does the jaws, and those holes are really a good identifier. But what that does is, if you move the weight out from there and move it up, it actually increases spin. So I was doing some things without any knowledge, but I was just trying to reduce weight.
Wow.
But it started then, and when I tried some different things out of school, and I came back, I met a guy that was doing some golf tours for professional golfers around the world, Bruce Osborne, and God bless him, he's not with us anymore, but he did a great service for pros that could not get on the tour. There was one opportunity to get on the tour. If you didn't get that, you were kind of lost. And so he created this tour and did all kinds of things in Asia, down in Australia, New Zealand, and Asia, and Europe, and did a great job. And I joined them, and I got back into golf through that.
Wow. And then you just decided one day to start making clubs for a profession?
Yeah, well, I started collecting old clubs and went back to the PGA show and didn't see a lot of things I liked in the late 70s. The big companies all left their primary location and moved to lower labor, if that sounds familiar.
Uh-huh.
These days. To make persimmon woods, it took a lot of knowledge, and there was a long learning curve, and you could really mess them up. I didn't see a lot of good things. There was a wood maker, Bobby Gonzalez, and Jesse Gonzalez in Los Angeles, and Charlie Lyons had a foundry, and he had this wood factory. And I came back and I said, I want to make some woods.
Wow.
And so I started helping them design what I wanted, and it started there. And then the next thing was wedges, and because I didn't have any money. But that's how it started.
That's wonderful. But, you know, I ask myself, could people do that now? The way club making is, you have to be...
It's so sophisticated now. Yeah, they could. I learned tooling and all of that through, I mean, the tool makers, it was aerospace tool makers that started the tooling for golf. And there were... You know, Southern California has a lot of aerospace, and there were a lot of tool makers, and they went. We have computers,
yeah.
California. We had tool makers, great sunshine, and it all came together.
Well, may I ask
that's
you?
That's why we're all out here.
That's why you're all out there. Now it all makes. I didn't put the aerospace. I know you use a lot of that. You know, in these metals that we wouldn't discover if we couldn't
right.
go to space, you know, and all these things are making the golf clubs so much better
yep.
for us to use.
I, beta titaniums and all kinds of high strength titaniums, multi materials and resins and complex resins with weaving, you know, fibers and so forth. They're, you know, Torre and all these things that we get with, you know, working with some of our friends like at Boeing that use a lot of carbon fiber in their 787 and their other planes. So explains a lot.
I need to ask you a question about the distance debate. And I just need to, yeah, just, I don't, I know it's, you know, it's difficult.
I love that question.
what is your take?
Well, I think you just have to narrow the fairways, okay, and grow the rough.
Just what they did at the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week.
And what's leading?
Yes.
Like seven under.
Yeah.
Okay? Out of the best players in the you know, the world, you have seven under, and there's two guys at seven under.
Yes.
And there's maybe 10 guys or so, or 12, that are under par. And that's all you need to do. Now, that has plenty of, it's not the longest course. It has water, firm green, beautiful firm greens. It's immaculate. If you ever get a chance to get to Orlando, you should play it. It is just a marvelous place. And Arnold, you know, it's all Arnold, and he everybody loves that man. And we had a chance, and Callaway had a chance to be with him. It was terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back to distance, that in my opinion, golf it's entertainment, and these guys are the stars. And if you take some of that away, it I think you need one golf ball, and so we all can compare ourselves to the elite players, and obviously we probably can't play to their standards or hit it as far, but it would be odd to have a lower distance golf ball for them and not for us.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
That's my opinion. I think it's entertainment and the ability to do all the things that those guys can do and ladies can do and is amazing But I want to see it. I don't want to see it dumbed down.
No, I don't want to see it dumbed down. I want to see it smartened up so that they have to use different shots, different clubs, and not go, you know, with their driver 330 yards and then take another club and get on the green and then putt. I mean, I want to see them have to work the course.
If you grow rough and have it narrow, they'll take the risk of hitting the 330, but if they get into the hay, they, you know, and if it's good enough rough, that's a half a stroke or a stroke penalty, and they'll take that driver out and put something else in, which is more skill, in my opinion.
That's what I want to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More skill.
And that's what they're afraid of. See, they want skill to come back in, which I totally agree with. You want to see the skill. If anything, I'd love to see the ball spin a little bit more. However, you know, that distance, it doesn't help the distance.
Oh, yes, that pulls it back, right.
but we have smart golf balls. You know, the Chrome Soft, especially this, the X and the Chrome Soft that we have, you know, it's a smart ball. The harder you hit it, the less it spins, and It, you know, the less you hit it, it spins more. You know, I mean, around the green, it spins like crazy.
Is that the Chrome Soft 2020 that I'm looking at?
Well, that's really the, yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's available March 12th.
Go out and try it. Yeah, March 12th is, it's worth the wait.
Awesome, and there's a pre-order ability.
Coming fast, too.
At CallawayGolf.com is where you'll find it. I love it. It spins less if you hit it hard. It spins more if you hinted gentle. It's got AI in it.
Well, it does, as a matter of fact.
Oh, Roger Cleveland, thank you for being on the show.
Danielle, it's a pleasure, and I wish I was there to go out right now and enjoy the sunshine in Hawaii.
Yeah, we'll go out and play. Today, it was 60-mile-an-hour winds, possibly.
You better flight it low.
Roger Cleveland is Callaway Golf Chief Club Designer. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Daniel, thank you.
Aloha. Pleasure. We're going to come back. We're going to meet up with Travis Jerker, and he's got a brand new 18-hole putting course at Turtle Bay. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Do you smell something funky in the house? You know, water could be getting in and you don't even know it. Something could be growing in your walls. Oahu Extraction can take the fear out of yourself. You know, you can figure out where the smell is coming from. Maybe it's not inside the walls, but that can tell you. It's Oahu Extraction, 330-6212. 330-6212 at an 808 for Neighbor Islands. 330-6212. They have a free thermal read in your home. They can see inside your walls. It's the state of the art hydrometer. So call Oahu Extraction now.
This portion of the Golf Club is brought to you by Creative Plumbing. When your building's hot water system needs new life or a new high-rise system, new build or renovation, call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futuristone's master craftsmen can turn your townhouse complex driveway and sideway into beautiful self-draining areas, adding to the value of your project. Turn your concrete floors into colorful masterpieces with Futuristone. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Travis Jerker, six-time consecutive, your winner of the PGA President's Council on Growing the Game Award, director of golf, Turtle Bay Golf, the Arnold Palmer and George Fazio courses, and now the new The Breaks putting course. Welcome into the clubhouse, Travis.
Thanks, Danielle. Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Why did you guys decide to do this 18-hole putting course?
Well, there's a couple reasons, but we like to have fun up at Turtle Bay, and we like to keep ourselves busy and offering new and exciting things for our guests at the hotel as well as our locals. And we just thought this was a great use of the space out there next to the clubhouse. And we had an idea. We pitched it to our owners, and they loved it. We built it.
So the we is what I like. PGA professionals. You guys did it?
We did it, yeah. We walked the piece of land that we were given, and we laid it out, and we worked with our superintendents and got their feedback. And, of course, there's a lot that goes into it that us pros weren't really aware of. So we had the vision, we had the idea, and we did the initial design, but our superintendents helped us, or at least guided us along the way.
Well, I bet, because it's called The Breaks, and it's I don't think it's the breaks of the ball rolling on the putting green, from what I understand. Why is it called The Breaks?
Well, it's kind of both, and it works in both ways. So, obviously, we're up on the North Shore, and we've got a ton of great surf breaks, but also, when you're on the green, you got a lot of breaks on the green, so kind of plays both ways, the land that we've used to build this putting course, there's a lot of natural mounding, And in some areas, this actually used to be the ninth hole of the Fazio course. And so there's some sections that there are old bunkers that have been filled in. So there's natural punch bowl style greens. And so we kept that in the design and used what was given out there. So there's a lot of unique breaks out there. So
that's fun.
That's how we got it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought of the first thing I thought of was the breaks on a putting green, how the putting green mm-hmm. breaks. And then I heard that it had something to do with the breaks of, you know, along the different places along the coast have different names because of the way the surf breaks. So
yep.
Does each little hole have its own name?
We've started naming them, and we're getting there because we're still a little bit early in the opening process of the breaks. We officially opened March 1st, so guests have been pouring out and checking it out. So we've named a few of them so far. One of our holes, I think it's the fifth hole, it looks like a big poi pounder. So if you know what that looks like, yeah, and it's just we designed it, and then we looked back at it after playing it, and we go, oh, that looks like a poi pounder.
So that's the name.
It's by dumb luck, yeah. So.
And it's really close to everything. You don't have to go any distance?
No, not at all. So where our practice putting green is right outside of Lele's Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
It's right outside there where the Fazio driving range used to be. So we essentially took the Fazio driving range and closed that down. And we utilized the tee pad for what we call lawn games. And we also have the putting course start and finish right there, 1 and 18 right next to the practice putting green.
Well, I've got to come out. I'm missing.
You are welcome.
Yeah,
anytime.
This is fabulous. How long does it take to play 18 on the breaks?
Great question. Yeah, I mean we've played it in 30 to 40 minutes, but most people will take about an hour. And we allow larger groups to play in one group. So it's not the traditional, oh, you got to be a foursome. You know, we allow fivesomes and sixsomes even. And you'd be surprised how many different types of people get out there and the types of reactions that they have. And, you know, we've had a group of 8 70-plus-year-old individuals out there, you know, drinking beers, gambling, hooting and hollering. It's entertainment, yeah. And of course, we have the young keiki and, you know, 5, 6, 7-year-olds out there as well, just having a blast. And it's a big open space too, so parents can bring their kids out and the kids can, I wouldn't say go hog wild, but they can go out there and run around and have a blast out there too. So
it's
a great family environment.
It sounds like it. And is there a dress code?
We recommend that they wear you know, a regular clothes essentially. You know, we're not encouraging bikinis or board shorts or anything like that, but you know, it is Turtle Bay, so it is North Shore and it is the surf culture up there. But yeah, you know, it's a pretty relaxed environment, and we want people to come as they are, so you don't have to wear a collared shirt and all that. But we get all kinds.
That's great.
So some do wear and some don't.
So. That's great. So if I just happen to come out now, what if I don't have any clubs in my car?
Oh yeah, well. So this is cool. We had fun with this, but you're familiar with Roots and Relics, the buy sell trade store in town. And so we went there and bought about 100 putters that were old school bullseye and ping putters, and mostly they're bullseyes. But you look at like a mini golf place, and they've got those, you know, two way putters that are kind of cheapy. And so we looked at those bullseyes and we're like, oh, perfect. So we bought those putters. We reconditioned them, threw a new grip on them, and people look at them and go, oh, I used to have one of these in the 80s, or I used to have one of these. You know, it's, so we provide that, and we provide a Titleist golf ball, which most people know Titleist. And I know Roger was just talking about the the Callaway ball, but... But yeah, we provide a Titleist ball and a bullseye or a ping, and people go out there and have their fun.
That's fun. Yes, and we don't mind. There's all golf companies are welcome on this show.
Exactly. Hey, we're not exclusive.
Not at all. So I like the design style. Mini seaside links.
Yep.
It's just wonderful. It just sounds right. And there's no strict dress code. And if you happen to be there going out to the North Shore and you're driving and you thought, hey, I wouldn't mind having lunch over at Turtle Bay and then getting out and, you know, hitting some balls on a putting green, an 18-hole putting course, that'd be fun. You could do it. You could do it right now, right today. It's what's going on at Turtle Bay. So it just opened up on the 1st of March. And do I have to have a tea time? Do I have to call up and say, hello, I'd like to reserve a tea time, please?
No. We take walk-ups, and it's actually a first-come, first-serve. And because you can play the course so quickly and it doesn't take all day like regular golf, I shouldn't say that, should I, Danielle?
No.
It takes all day. No, it doesn't have to. It can take 3.5 hours, 4 hours.
Exactly.
But, you can play it quickly, and, I would say that, you know, if we were running tee times, you could run 3-minute tee times, really.
Wow.
So,
yes.
People move and they get it done. And one of the cool things that we got from one of the other amazing golf resorts in the U.S., Bandon Dunes, they have drink holders as their tee markers. So we have drink holders out there as tee markers. So if you stop over at Lele's and get your beverage of choice, you walk the course and you got a place to put your drink as you go.
Oh,
so,
that is
kind of fun.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the breaks at Turtle Bay. Okay. This sounds like a lot
of
fun.
We are too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's perfect for somebody. Now, putting is difficult if you have to practice a lot. And, you know, it's hard on some part, you know, if you've got a back issue or something like that, practicing putting is tough. But doing something like this where you putt and then you get up and you walk, and then you have fun and you laugh, you relax, and then you putt again. That's perfect. It gets people out and there's a little bit of exercise. What if I wanted to have like a party, you know, like or take out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is perfect for parties, fundraisers, tournaments. So, you know, we're obviously going to run our own tournaments and fundraisers out there as we go along. But, yeah, if somebody wants to have a birthday party, wants to have, you know, like an alumni get together. There's a section of the course, and it kind of runs in a counterclockwise fashion. There is a center portion, which I call the infield. You know, you go to a NASCAR race, and you've got the infield where, you know, sometimes there's a lot of partying going on or just congregating. And so we've set up tents and tables, and you know, we set up music, we can set up drinks and food. And so as you go along and play, you can either grab some shade, you can grab a drink, you can grab some food if you're having a tournament or a party. So, yeah, I mean, it's perfect. You know, the setup is perfect for that scenario. So, yeah, we take groups, tournaments, fundraisers, parties, all the above. So we're excited to get those out there.
Yeah, when, you know, when I was at the Ho'olaulea and the awards, the Aloha Section PGA, and I saw you, and then the next couple of days I heard about the breaks. American Society of Golf Course Architects released this study that they had done showing optimism among owners and operators of golf courses. Of course, increased number of general managers think golfers would welcome enhanced short game areas and practice ranges. And I thought, hey, the break. So when Jan Valjean was on the show, I said, yeah, we've got something going on just like this. It's at Turtle Bay, and they've made this really cool place. It's called The Breaks. It's an 18-hole putting course, and it's so much fun. And obviously it is. So what time do you open?
We start at 10 a.m., and we go to roughly sunset. So it gives our guys enough time to kind of get things set up and get things going. Most of our guests, they're ready to come out at about noon, but we open up at 10 a.m. and it's a day of fun. And the cool thing that we do is that you pay a one-time fee and it's good for the day. So if you want to come out, play around, and then go grab lunch at Lele's, then you can come out and play a second round. So your fee that you pay is good for the day.
Yes. Yeah. And it rhymes, too. How much is it?
Oh, So our resort guests are $20 for adult and $15 for keiki, but we offer a discount for our kamaaina. It's $15 for adults and $10 for keiki.
Wow.
And then we also have our Hanaho program as well as our Hanaho Plus program. Our Hanaho members are going to get an additional discount, so added value. It'll be $10 for our Hanaho members.
Wow.
So pretty reasonable.
Very reasonable. That's fun. That's an hour and a half of a whole bunch of fun with the family. Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Travis, are you going to have the annual Turtle Bay Foundation Golf Tournament in June of this year?
We will. Yeah. No, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, we're set up for June 12th. We'll have the annual event then.
Okay. Well, you'll have to be back on the show before then so we can talk about it, okay?
Awesome. Yeah, no, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Travis Jerger, six-time consecutive year winner of the PGA President's Council on Growing the Game Award. Obviously, the man's got his mind in the right place. He's just created an 18-hole putting course at Turtle Bay. He's the director of golf there. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we've got Jim Nugent, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post, the online golf magazine, free. And then there's Global Golf Post Plus. And that is really cool because those stories go deep. You'll want that. We'll be back with Jim after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
All righty. Okay, the Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe. I promised you a $50 gift certificate for the ninth caller at 808. Jim's in, right? Jim's waiting? Okay, 808-545-1111. That's the number to call for this $50 gift certificate for Bayview Golf Course. Okay, this is Oahu's best value, Hawaii's best value in golf here, and a double-deck driving range with top tracer at each station at no extra cost. The challenge is to bring your friends out and play in the virtual mode, or just go and hit balls and have a good time like you always have. It means nothing that virtual golf is there. It doesn't change anything. It enhances everything. And Bayview is having a demo day for the Top Tracer equipment on March 15th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You meet at the upper deck because it's a double deck driving race, the upper deck, and you'll get a free basket of balls. And that's a $9 value. So March 15th, 1 o'clock, Bayview, the double deck driving range. And now you've got to be the ninth caller, okay? Number 9-545-1111. And if you're on the neighbor islands, just add the 808-545-1111.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Jim Nugent, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post, the online golf magazine that comes into your inbox free every week on Monday. All you have to do is give them your email address for delivery. But there's also GGP Plus now. And GGP Plus is in-depth reporting. No commercials at all. No ads, no nothing. It's just the reporting. So you're just getting the best. And that's GGP Plus. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jim.
Danielle, good morning, and thank you for having me on again.
Absolutely. There's so much going on. Yesterday, I guess we should, you know, I don't know, do we start with the Presidential Medal of Freedom Awards being, you know, or if Tiger Woods not playing? Let's go with the Presidential Medal of Freedom Awards. Now, these awards, by the way, are awarded to citizens who have made an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interests of the United States or world peace or cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. And Amica Sorenstam and Gary Player will be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom later this month. I was surprised that more golfers are being picked, but I guess I shouldn't have been, right, Jim?
Well, we've got a golfer in the White House.
Yeah.
And he's taking advantage of his time at 1600 Pennsylvania to recognize golfers. He'll recognize Annika and Gary in just about 2 weeks' time. He has also recognized Tiger Woods. I think Annika and Gary become the fifth and sixth, if I recall, golfers to get this award. Nicholas Palmer, Charlie Sifford, and Tiger. Well-deserved in each case, but I'm especially happy for my friend Annika. Everyone knows what she did on the golf course. Not as many people know what she has been doing since she retired. She has been tirelessly promoting girls golf, junior golf around the world with a series of tournaments that she and her husband are fully invested in. They're there the whole time. We have one with the HAGA in Florida, but she's got one in South America. She's got one at home in Sweden. She's got one in China. She's really done some remarkable work since she retired.
Yeah, well, when she retired, she was also doing all kinds of golf course architectural work, really throwing herself into the idea of girls and promoting them as they transition from being girls in junior golf to collegiate. The award, the Annika Award, is huge.
Yes, yes. There is the Annika Award for the best collegiate player. She has her own collegiate tournament played in Minnesota and sponsored by 3M. So her work in growing the game continues, and it's great to see her get this kind of very, very special recognition.
Right, exactly. And her Annika Foundation is, continuing her work for women and girls in the game. And seeing Gary Player being acknowledged, I mean, the Player Foundation, the Gary Player Invitational, raising money for underprivileged kids around the world. And really one of five men to have achieved the career Grand Slam in 165 professional tournaments around the world. A great ambassador.
A great ambassador for the game, has been for his entire life, which I believe is now more than 80 years. And it's great to see what some of us of a certain age knew as the big three, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and now Gary, mm-hmm. have all gotten this special recognition. He, too, is very, very deserving.
Yeah. All right. And this will be coming up at the end of March, and we'll be hearing all about it. It's really exciting. Tiger Woods, not playing the Players' Championship. His back is too stiff. Do you think Tiger Woods is just going to take the winters off from now on? Like, I don't know, quit in September and start in June?
I don't think anybody knows what to expect. It wasn't completed play at Bay Hill this week. It's somewhat shocking that he's not playing at Players next week. And mm-hmm. it suggests that despite Mark Steinberg's protestations, there's something fundamentally wrong with that back. And it really causes one to wonder, not just is he going to be able to mount a credible defense of his Masters title next month, but more so, just how much is he going to be able to play at all this year, and what the future years look like. We're certainly going to see less and less of him as time goes on. But it could well be that we're at that moment where this is really the beginning of the end for Tiger Woods.
And, you know, seeing him at Zozo, I mean, his swing was incredible. It looked like he had the best swing maybe of his entire career. I don't know.
He played brilliantly and looked great and looked fit and looked healthy and happy down there. The same goes for the President's Cup. He hit some spectacular shots on a very, very challenging golf course, paced himself, didn't play every session, came back, and when he played, which is to say twice, Torrey Pines and then Riviera, he looked out of sorts. He looked sluggish. A couple people detected a limp in his gait. So he's clearly not in as good of shape as he was late fall last year.
You know, the problem with having a bad back, and I speak from experience, is that when it gets cold, everything tightens up. And when everything tightens up, one thing happens, another thing happens, and pretty soon you're stiff, and your back is stiff, and it takes a while for that stiffness to go away. It's, and then you're like, oh, gosh, you know, I was doing so good, and now I've got to, you know, somehow... It will, and then you start wondering if it ever will go away. And then one day you wake up and it's fine. So I doubt, you know, do you think he'll be at Valspar or the WGC or Valero?
Well, I think I think in a best of all possible worlds, he'll get one start in between now and the Masters. I don't know where it is. Valspar would be a good one. He likes that golf course. It's a good testing golf course. I don't know that the match play in Austin makes a lot of sense because that could be a short stay.
Mm-hmm.
So his schedule choices are not ideal, and there's not a lot of them left right now. I got to ask you, though, Danielle, talking about bad backs and cold weather.
Yeah.
In Hawaii, really? Is it cold there sometimes?
All right, when the north wind is blowing and the humidity is up and then it gets down to be like 62 degrees when you're in, you know, 80s, that feels cold. I know we're spoiled, and I get to take out all of my great clothes that I can only wear when it's really cold, and that's really cool. You can be styling, you know what I'm saying? But
do you close the schools when it gets into the 60s in
No,
Hawaii?
We don't. And now you're just teasing me. But you do notice a 20 degree, you know, temperature change like that, and the body does go through the. So I understand. I understand what's happening. When he shouldn't play in the cold, he should just give up that whole thing that they do on the West Coast in the winter, which sounds ridiculous, but that's not good for him. But hey, I was disappointed that he wasn't at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, but I guess it's cold in Florida, right? I mean, 50s is kind of cold, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cold there today. I was watching it, but the other day, on Thursday, it was in the 90s. So, you know, in Florida at this time of year, you can get these wild fluctuations. But by the time the leaders go off this afternoon, it'll probably be in the 70s. It'll be just perfect.
Okay. And we've got this great leaderboard because we've got England, Korea, New Zealand, Korea twice, Ireland, South Africa, and the United States in the top 10. It sounds like the LPGA.
It's quite a leaderboard. You've got Ricky Fowler in the vicinity. You've got Patrick Reed there, and you've got... Rory, who really has been playing some good golf, not so much yesterday, got a little sloppy on the front nine, but he's playing good golf, and he's got confidence. He loves that golf course all of a sudden, and he's won there and has a different attitude about it. I think he's the guy to keep an eye on this weekend.
Okay, so we're going to watch Rory, and we're going to watch Sungjae Im. Don't you think?
All he does is play every week and then win occasionally. He's... Somebody needs to tell him that it's okay to take a week off. He's not going to lose his job.
I think he really just loves doing it. You know, living in hotels, it has, you know, people come and clean up after you, and but it's a great leaderboard, and I'm going to keep my eye on Danny Lee too. I mean, that's interesting to see how he's changed his game. He's got all this length all of a sudden, but it seems to be working for him. Tyrrell Hatton, seeing him at the top was fun, but I want Rory. Now Brooks Koepka, tied for 38th. Is he practicing or is he competing?
Well, he's not competing this week, so I think he is still rusty from the time away trying to get his knee fixed. And he has said, and I suspect he's telling the truth, that this knee is going to be a lingering situation. Whatever he did, it was pretty severe. And it would be a shame if it limits his ability to play the kind of golf that he's capable of, because he's an explosive player. But so far, since coming back a couple of weeks ago, he's not the same Brooks Koepka that we have seen for the last couple of years.
Yeah, but you know what with Brooks that always puzzles me is with Tiger, he seemed to be always competing to win. And with Brooks, I see the competition come out only for the majors. And that's why I say, is he practicing or is he competing? Because it seems like he goes out and he's playing, but not necessarily winning. He's more playing shots, working his game in a competitive, you can only feel the competition if you're in a tournament like this on the PGA Tour. So he confounds me.
He's a little bit different in a lot of respects, and certainly that's one of them. He all the players put a great deal of emphasis on the majors, right? Everybody
yes.
wants to win a major.
Sure.
But he seems to have a somewhat lackadaisical attitude about the rest of the schedule. You know, he can play mediocre golf and still make quite a living out there because he's that talented. But it would be good for the game, it would be good for him, if he could win with a little bit more frequency.
Yeah, it would be good for the game. I would like somebody, the idea that Tiger is going to be, not competing. And he generates so much excitement. And we don't have anyone. And when Tiger came back, all of a sudden it was like, wow. And then, these are all great guys. Don't get me wrong. They're great. But I just don't feel that hunger, that drive, that whatever the je ne sais quoi that Tiger Woods brings to the table. And we're probably never going to see a Tiger Woods again, at least probably not in my lifetime or when I'm really, really old. But it would be nice to see them really going for it. And I mean, that's why I love Rory McIlroy, because he seems to, even if he falters like yesterday, he still has his whole heart in it to compete and to win.
Rory is, he'll grind it out. He'll grind it out with the best of them. That doesn't appear to be a skill that Brooks Koepka has at the moment, and I think that's something that he needs to adjust and perhaps become a little bit more mature about it.
Okay. So, Phil Mickelson missed the cut. Justin Rose missed the cut. Lee Westwood missed the cut. Tommy Fleetwood missed the cut after 33 consecutive cuts made. Do you think maybe that faltering last weekend when he was in such a strong position to win, did we make a big deal? I mean, I listened to people talking about it. Was it the embarrassment or letting himself down or not coming through? What are your thoughts?
I think there's a natural letdown there. I think he was very disappointed. And I think he kind of went into Bay Hill with a bit of a sour attitude. But he's a tremendous player. Once he breaks through here in the United States and wins, I think you're going to see him win a fair amount. He's that talented of a player. You can't take out of the box of the conversation. Bay Hill is really hard. It's a hard golf course, and if you're not striking your ball brilliantly, you're going to make some big numbers. And you rattled off a lot of guys that missed the cut, and some of them are well-known names, but they just weren't on top of their game, and as a result, they went home early.
Yeah. Got it. I love the story in Global Golf Post about Brandon Matthews, who was given a sponsor exemption to play this week.
Yeah, it's a really great story. He was playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, if I recall correctly, last year. Missed a putt to win because a emotionally challenged young man screamed. And after initially reacting like we all would, which is, hey, what are you doing? He realized that it was a challenged young man, and he went over and talked to the kid and signed a golf ball. And it was an act of kindness that you see from time to time on the PGA Tour. And the tour brass became aware of it. The Palmer people became aware of it. And they offered him an exemption to play at Bay Hill this week, which for a struggling and aspiring golf professional like him, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and that 8-foot putt that he was going for would have got him into the Open. So
it
was huge, a huge moment for him. What are you following in the game right now?
Well, you know, you have to, in the world that we live in at this very moment, you just can't take your eye off this virus situation, unfortunately. It's caused all of the professional, well, the LPGA and the European Tour to cancel events. The PGA Tour has not done so yet, and I don't think they're going to. I think there's some real questions right now about the PGA Championship being played in San Francisco in just a couple of months. It's wreaking havoc on, you know, society, so golf doesn't get a hall pass on this. I was in an email conversation with my friend Mike Wan, the LPGA commissioner, this morning, and he's been at that job now for 10 years, and he said this last month has been the hardest month of that entire 10-year run. So that's how much this situation is impacting our game at the moment.
Absolutely. And they start up again at the end of the, well, not the end, on the 21st, the week, I think of the 21st because it's Saturday, so I would do my show about the Founders Cup on that Saturday. And, you know, it's so good to know that they're going to come back and play, you know, and there are a lot of places where they're playing with no spectators. And the PGA Tour China had to just not do it, you know, just not play. It is very difficult right now. It's very difficult for everyone. We just have announced yesterday we have our first case here in Hawaii. And so, you know, people are saying, well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And it's it is wreaking havoc on everyone's lives. And as you said, golf isn't going to get a pass. On the distance debate, your thoughts, sir?
Well, I have two thoughts. The first one is I think they're serious this time. I don't think they're fooling around. I think that the USGA and the RNA are determined to do something. I don't know what something means, but I think that they're tired of being criticized for letting the equipment manufacturers kind of get so far out in front that they perceive that there's a threat to the health of the game. Personally, I don't see it. I don't know anybody that's given up golf because they're hitting it too far. In fact, at my age, most of the guys I play with are hitting it less far than they once did. I have a very difficult time with the notion of changing the rules of this game because of the skill of about 10,000 men who play the game at a very, very elite level, be it professionally or amateur. I just don't know why we want to let the skill and ability of those players, some of whom play it for a living, to dictate the rules of golf and change it for you and me and all of your listeners in Hawaii.
Yeah. I don't like the whole talk of rollback makes no sense to me. If anything, it would be just stop making it easier to hit it further. Or even better, why don't we just make it harder to play in tournament golf, if that's what we're looking at. And since everybody thinks they can hit at 330 yards, and so they want really, really, really long golf courses that are really expensive to maintain, and then they have to up the price, and then we, who don't really have that much money, can't afford to play golf as often as we'd like to. So with all that taken in consideration, why don't we just make it so that the rough is higher and the fairways are narrower, and that'll keep them on the straight and narrow.
Well, you make a good point. You know, at the professional level, sometimes the golf courses that they play are just, you know, very, very easy. You think about Arizona in the wintertime. There is no rough. The fairways are very firm and fast. And so these guys are bombing it. There is very little risk-reward when the pros are in Arizona. When they come to Florida, as we've seen, there's a new element called wind. And last week, you know, a good number of really talented top-tier players chose not to play at Honda because they know the wind conditions at this time of year. And a shot that's hit just ever so slightly offline oftentimes winds up wet. So, you know, Florida's different. The golf courses have a great deal more risk, slightly more reward. But if the tour set the golf courses up to fit these guys and challenge them and really make them hit golf shots, I think that would be sufficient to deal with this problem, if it is a problem, and I don't think it is.
And so, you know, when the U.S. Open used to be played, it was like, oh, my God, they've made it so hard they can't play. And then the USGA went all the way to the other side and made it so, like, here's a wide-open prairie. Just hit it wherever you want.
Right. Well, think about what Augusta National did. There was that period of time when they tried to tiger-proof the tournament, and they certainly made it harder. But you know what else they did? It made it a lot less interesting and a lot less exciting on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think they realized that they'd gone too far. There were no yells. There were no eagles. It was kind of boring. And these are the best athletes in the world. Challenge them, to be sure, but reward them when they hit spectacular things. You know, we watch them on TV. We go to tournaments to watch them because they're capable of doing things that we can't even dream about.
This is Jim Nugent, founder and publisher of Global Golf Post, the online golf magazine, and it is free. All you have to do is get in touch with them online. Your email address, you know, for delivery right into your inbox on Monday. There's also GGP Plus. There is a very reasonable fee, and you have it in your inbox as well with no commercials, no ads, no. It's just great writing and in-depth writing. So I suggest that you go there. Go to Global Golf Post, and thank you for being on the show, Jim.
Danielle, thank you very much for having me on today. I greatly appreciate it.
By the way, are you still on the board or president of the American Junior Golf Association?
I am. I just got back from a board meeting in Atlanta yesterday. The AJGA continues to thrive in its mission of helping talented young juniors get college scholarships, both men and or both boys and girls. It's an extraordinary organization.
It is an extraordinary organization. And we're having the Hawaii Junior Golf Day on Saturday, the 21st. I'm going to do my show at the Alawai, and all the PGAs in Hawaii come together on all the islands and have free clinics to get kids into the game. It's a lot of fun. Thank you so much for all you do for the game.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Aloha. We're going to come back with a young man. Yeah, I'm going to call you a young man, Glenn, who is a marathoner, and he's an avid golfer, and he's played a round of 18 holes, and he's ran a marathon in all 50 states. Not the same time. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
And congratulations, Jan, you are the winner of the $50 gift certificate at the beautiful Bayview Golf Course. You should check it out. If you haven't been to Bayview in a while, the greens are so beautiful. The fairway is gorgeous. And you know, the back nine is amazing. I was talking about Hawaii Junior Golf Day. It is Saturday, March 21st, and it'll be at Bayview on Oahu, as well as at Hawaii Kai, Ko'olina, Navy Marine, Turtle Bay, and Alawai. That's where I'll be doing my show from on the 21st at Alawai. On the Big Islands, the Hilo Muni, Hualalai. On Maui, it's Dunes at Maui Lani, Ka'anapali, Wailea, Kahili. On Kauai, it's Kiahuna, Princeville, and Puakea. You register at hsjga.org.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Oahu Extraction. When it floods, water, or worse, sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7. Oahu Extraction, on site in 90 minutes, high-rise shopping center or home. Oahu Extraction. Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home. Raynor Doors, increase the value of your home with a major return on your investment. Call Raynor Doors, 676-3667. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
We are KPUA Hilo, K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, and K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. And now, into the clubhouse comes our avid golfer and marathon runner, member of Marathon Maniacs, Glenn Marumoto. Welcome into the clubhouse, Glenn.
Aloha, Daniel. Thank you very much.
It's so good to have you. And I guess, now, how did all this start? I mean, we usually don't think of runners and golfers. You know, runners run and golfers golf. They usually don't. And marathon runners, you're always training. So how in the world do you have time to become a golfer and keep that up? So how did this start? In 2013, you was a dare?
Well, the journey was a dare, but we'll turn the Wayback Machine back a little bit. So I was always a runner, so I started running when I was in high school, distance, mostly because the small high school I went to, my graduating class was like 75 or 76. We didn't have anybody that wanted to run a mile and a half or 2 miles on the track team, so they just looked at me and said, okay, I'll go do it. So that's kind of how it started. And then I was lucky enough to get accepted to the Air Force Academy, and that's where the golf came in. We were having a squadron tournament, and they said, well, we need somebody to fill out our team. And I went, well, I don't know how to golf. I said, don't worry. You know, famous last words, we'll teach you, right? So I got some rental clubs and went out and hit the ball around, and it was pretty disastrous round, but believe it or not, I was hooked. So, and when you were a cadet at the Air Force Academy back then, you could buy a season pass for like $20. And so, during the summer times when I was there for summer training, I would get the most I could out of my $20. So, and then I met up with a few folks, and they were nice enough to buy me my first set of clubs, which was a starter set, and then from there, I just kind of picked up the game, and I still kept running. So fast forward 28-year career, I had, and this is going to sound funny too, but I had retired from the Air Force, and I really didn't have anything to do, so I started playing golf every day, and believe it or not, I actually got tired of playing golf. You do that for every day for 6 months, and believe it or not, it becomes a job. And so I started looking for a second job, and I found it with the VA, that took up a lot of time. And so I got out of running and put on a few pounds, and didn't like the way where I was at. So I got back into running. So I hooked up with this group out in IAA called Runners High Ohana. We ran out of the Runners High store there. We started getting ready for my, I don't know, 8th or 9th, 10th, something like that, Honolulu Marathon, because that's all I do is the Honolulu Marathon. And so I did that, and then one of the the de facto president out there said, "Oh, we're going to lesson one over on Maui, the Maui oceanfront." And I said, and I kind of looked at him crosswise, said, "You can actually travel for a marathon," which was it was actually a very foreign concept to me at the time. And said, "Sure." And so we did that, and he said. And then he was kind of shopping around for somebody to go with him. The marathon maniacs that you mentioned, the other club I'm in, was having their 10-year reunion run in Seattle that year in 2013. And he was looking around, going, "Oh, you know," and said, "Well, I guess I could go." And so that weekend, I qualified to become a maniac. There's qualification races you have to run, or a certain number of them before you could join, and I quite didn't make it. So that weekend, I ran what we call a double, so I ran back-to-back marathons that weekend, and I qualified to become a maniac. And then after I came back, and the whole time I was with these guys, I would be sitting there going, "Eh, I'm not really a runner. I just like to golf. I'm just doing this for exercise."
Sure.
Right? And I can still remember we were out on a Sunday morning run, and they were giving me hell about you know, running and everything. I said, "No, I like golf." And we were actually running by Ted Macalena out there because we were on the pro bike path.
Yeah.
And I said something, "Boy, I wish I was out there doing that." And I said, "Hey, you know, you're a runner now." I said, "No, I like doing this golf stuff." And then it says, "Well, okay." And they were talking to me about doing the 50 states and stuff, because I had just done Washington, Hawaii, and I'd done California earlier, a lot earlier. And they said, "Well," so Les kind of, "Well, why don't you just go out and, you know," because I was sitting there going, "I don't know that I want to run 50 states." And he said, "Well, why don't you run in golf of 50 states?" I went, "Okay, now that's a challenge."
Yeah. Right. So,
and that's how it started.
So running a marathon and playing 18 holes of golf in every state in 2016, you completed that after 3 years and 5 months. And I don't think, I haven't found anybody who can say that they've done that. I mean, you're the only person who's done that.
And, you know, on the running side, I have not found anybody that has said that they can do that either. I've run across runners who do golf once in a while, but nobody has ever tried to run a marathon and play 18 holes of golf in every state. Yeah, you're right. I don't know anybody. It's kind of a, and if you think about it, you know, if you look at a golfer, they're probably not much of a runner. If you look at a runner, they're probably not much of a golfer. So it's kind of a unusual crossroads that I was at.
Yeah, truly. And I'm looking at your schedule because, you know, on Marathon Maniacs, they keep a record of. So this is Glenn Marumoto. He's a marathon runner and an avid golfer. So this year alone, on the 2nd of February, he was Surf City Marathon in California. He did the Maui Ocean Marathon in January, the Mobile Marathon in Alabama, the Charleston Marathon in South Carolina, the Hawaii Bird Conservation Marathon in Hilo, the Honolulu Marathon, of course, the Osaka Marathon in December last year. I didn't know that there were this many marathons.
And I don't really, you know, you probably see the number of 155, 156 out there. I don't make a big deal about that, because in the running orbit that I'm in, there are out. He's golfing and I did together. So I would, you know, golf one day and marathon run the next day.
Yeah.
Or marathon. The tougher one is marathon in the morning and golfing in the afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How do you do this?
That. I would tell you that hurts.
Yeah, thank you.
That is not fun.
But which golf course then did you really, really enjoy on the mainland?
On the mainland? So I've played a couple. So I would tell you I have played Pinehurst. So, so I played all nine at Pinehurst. I did not run. I wasn't running back then, but I did play all nine in Pinehurst. So Pinehurst always sticks out. TPC is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Stadium course. I got managed to play that.
Wow.
And then the Coeur d'Alene Resort, I played that one too. So I've actually gotten around to a few decent golf courses. Marathon wise, I didn't golf at it, but I did run the New York City Marathon as my first major marathon.
Wow.
That was actually kind of fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was actually kind of fun. So
I bet. I bet. Just the energy of the crowd, just the city and
oh, yeah.
that whole environment. There's no city quite like New York City.
No, there isn't.
Really. And now I was curious. You were listening to the show a couple of weeks ago, and you heard us talk mm-hmm. about the distance debate. And of course, it's not going to go away until the USGA and the RNA make some sort of decision. And you said there's a similar conversation in running about shoes. And what can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So this distance debate in clubs goes back a long ways, as you know, right? I mean, we're talking about coefficient of resistance on your driver head
yes.
and square grooves on your irons and all that kind of stuff. We've all seen it. And I've actually seen it. I used to play tennis. I've actually seen it in tennis with, the size of the head of the racket and all that kind of nonsense. Well, so what they're doing in the running business is they're doing these composite plates in the shoes now. So if you might have been watching about 6-7 months ago, a guy by the name of Eliud Kipchoge broke the 2-hour mark in the marathon. Well, kind of sort of. He ran a marathon distance, so he did a marathon distance. He ran it 1:59. And one of the big factors that they say in that was his shoes. And so what they did was they have these shoes with very thick soles, and then they put a carbon fiber plate in it. And so and a lot of people have gone to that at the elite level. And just like in golf, I will tell you that I've bought some of those clubs, whether they had square grooves in the irons or, whether they had big driver heads or whatever. And, yeah, I might have, with my 95-mile-an-hour swing speed, I might have squeezed, an extra couple yards out of the club, and spent $500 doing it. Well, my thinking about the shoes is pretty much the same way. Yeah, you might be able to get faster, but when I run a 405 marathon, does that mean that I'm going to qualify for Boston when I put these shoes on and drop my speed down an extra 30 minutes? No, that's not going to happen. And so that's my thought about the running shoes is that, yeah, okay, they're lighter, they may get you a little bit faster, but are they magic? No, you still have to run the distance, and you still have to be kind of down below that speed that you want to get to run fast, and it's the same thing with club heads, right? I hear about this, and I was just listening to your show earlier this morning when we were talking to Roger Cleveland,
yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, hey, that's fine, when you got 130 mile swing speed, yeah, it might make a difference, but somebody like me who's got a 14-15 handicap, do I really need to spend $800 to get an extra couple yards? I don't know about that. And that's where my thoughts are.
Totally get it.
and that's where the conversation is that, a guy, a Kenyan or whatever, if he's running a 205 or 206 marathon, and the shoes will get him to a 202 or 203, so he wins the race. Perfectly understandable. But for somebody like me who's, trotting around at 415, 420, 420, 430 marathon, spending $200 for a pair of shoes, that's only going to get me down to from 420 to 418. Doesn't make sense.
No. No. Glenn, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is Glenn Marumoto, marathon runner and avid golfer, and the only person, unless you know somebody else who has done this, but I don't think you'll find anyone else who's done this. He's run a marathon in all 50 states and played golf, 18 holes of golf in all 50 states. either before, after, and one day it was in the same day, and that must have been very painful. We really appreciate you being on the show, Glenn. We're going to talk a little bit about that's coming up for the Hawaii Junior Golf Day in case you missed all of the golf courses where you can take your kids. This is really cool. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Registration's 8:30. Goes until 11 o'clock, and it's free. No charge at all. PGA professionals are doing the clinics for the kids, and it's a really fun way to introduce golf to children. There's a bunch of kids. They all get excited about being there. They're having a really fun time. And for parents who are standing around watching all this and getting a kick out of it, but are fascinated that their children are so interested in it, you'll get some information about how to get your children into junior golf. You can find out where your child can enroll, what kind of junior golf programs there are. You know, there's lots of things like First Tee or Aloha State Junior Golfers. They can get you started. You just learn the basics and have a good time. So the Hawaii Junior Golf Day, there's no charge. It's Saturday, March 21st on Oahu. It's at the Alawai at Bayview, Hawaii Kai, Ko'olina, Navy Marine, and Turtle Bay. Big Island is the Hilo Muni. It's at Hualalai. On Maui, it's the dunes at Maui Lani, Ka'anapali, Wailea, and Kahili. On Kauai, it's Kiahuna, Princeville, and Puakea. And I'll do the show at the Alawai, have some terrific guests on the show that weekend, and I look forward to you bringing your kids out, your grandkids out, and giving them an experience that they'll really enjoy. The Golf Club, made possible by these wonderful people. Oahu Extraction, when it floods water or worse, and it's been raining, and then the wind has been blowing it sideways. You never know how that water's getting in, and it can stay, and it can really cause some problems. So call Oahu Extraction. Maybe the water didn't flood in. It trickled in and stayed. Right. There's mold. Oahu Extraction, 24/7, on-site in 90 minutes, and they're there for you. Aloha Power Equipment at the Sand Island and Waipahu stores, the largest selection of Maruyama Power Equipment. Aloha Power Equipment, the Maruyama Superstore. They'll put power at your fingertips. Rainer Doors, today you don't want to be fumbling for your keys outside your home. You want to get in safely. You want to make sure your family's getting in safely. So with a push of a button, Rainer garage door will just open up for you, and you slip inside and closes, and there you are. You know your loved ones are safe with Rainer doors, and they have more than 50 different styles for your taste, for your home. You increase the value of your home with a Rainer door. Their number is 676-3667. And Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe, Hawaii's best value in golf, the double-deck driving range, top tracer at every station. It's no extra charge. It's a wonderful day on March 15th to go for a demo of the top tracer. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and indeed, it's about 15 minutes for the demo to show you how you can use the virtual mode, and you get a free basket of balls. BayviewHawaii.com, or for a tee time, call 247-0451 extension 1. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. You can always hear the show again or other shows, RadioGolfClub.com, or where you get your podcasts. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.